Brother Andrew used to have, when he was running everything over here, before he had another three kids, when he was doing that, he would take the booth over there, and he'd split those rants off, and he'd save them into a file. He's like, Pastor Cooley's rant on this. And he'd, so on the hard drive, I got like all these rants saved. that was good. Anyway, Colossians chapter, we're talking about the local church as a body here. We won't get all the way through this here. We'll finish it up in the afternoon. But we'll get it started anyway. And the local church as a body. We dealt with first the local church as a family. Understanding that as a family under the same household of faith, amen. And God says that we're to know how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God, which is the church of God, church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Well, now we're going to look at the church, the local church as a body. Next week we're going to talk about the local church as an army. And every good soldier and every army has to have armor. So we'll be heading into Ephesians chapter 6 and deal with that, where most people think that's just for the individual soldier. No, that's for the church. That armor is not only for the soldier, but it's for the church. Because if the soldier doesn't have it, then the church won't have it. Amen? You've got to have armor to go out in battle. And anyway, so we'll deal with that next week, and then and that'll all kind of, the Lord is bringing that all together for Brother Russ, for what we're doing with Brother Russ and the work that God has called his family to do there and everything else. So we're excited about that. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. In all things he might have the preeminence. You know, that's important. That shows you the truth. Right there, the fact that the body has one head, and that head is Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not the state, it's not anybody else, it's not the pastor, it's Jesus Christ is the head. For headship to somebody else, God is not pleased with that. God is not pleased with that at all. Which has been proven in other sermons, so I don't have time to go down that road. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. For his body's sake. We're just doing some preliminary things before we really head in and look at the body here. But I want to give you some verses that explain that. He says here, which is the church for his body's sake. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 17. He talks about which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. All those other things in the Old Testament, they were shadows of what was to come. And what was to come was the body of Christ. Amen, the local church. In Colossians chapter 2, verse number 18, he says, let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. Talking about the body, the head is Christ. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts to the which also ye are called in one body and be ye thankful. One body. Speaking to the Colossians here. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. What is he talking about? In the body, local body of Christ. That is where that takes place. That is where the admonishing one of another takes place. That's where these things take place in the body. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 30. For we are members, and we're going to break that down a little bit too, but for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Members of the body. Romans chapter 12. In fact, turn to Romans chapter 12 because we're going to be there for a while here. We're actually going to really start this study right here as we talk about the local church as a body. Romans chapter 12. It's interesting as he starts these verses here. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So he's talking to the individual believer there that this is, that ye all, you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God. That's right, a New Testament sacrifice. And not to be conformed to this world. You know, the world has too much influence on us and what we do and how we do things. We gauge sometimes what we do by how the world will accept it. How are my relatives going to accept it? How are my friends going to accept it? How are these people going to accept it? And not by what God says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. No, not conformed to that, but transformed. Amen? That's what God expects from us. He goes on to say, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." So now he's heading in and he's saying, you know, don't be high-minded. Because he's going to start teaching on the body and your relationship. That's why he first says to you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And not to be conformed. Why? Because now you're going to be working together as a body. And he's telling them, he's explaining to them that, hey, as you're going to work together, you're going to have to deny yourself. You're going to have to be that New Testament sacrifice. You're going to have to give yourself. Amen? You have to give yourself. So he's starting it with you personally, and other chapters of Romans do that. We're not breaking down the whole book of Romans here, but other chapters of the book of Romans take care of that. But what he's explaining to you is this is what God expects from you. First, you. Now he's saying, because you need to do this, because the next step is going to be the body, and if you're not doing this already, then it's going to mess things up in the body. You have a problem. Amen? For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So as God has given to every man, deal with it that way. Deal soberly. Don't think of yourself above another brother, but all in one body together. All together, not one above another, but preferring another before yourself. Amen? So he says here, as God hath dealt every man the measure of faith. What God has given you. You're going to have some vessels of honor and some to dishonor. You're going to have some that are stronger and some that are weaker. You're going to have some that are bolder in the faith and some that are less bold in the faith. Those that are bold in the faith should not despise those that are not bold in the faith. Those that are not bold in the faith should not despise those that are bold in the faith. But a lot of times what you have is those that are not bold despise the bold. That's usually what happens. More times than not, the one that is bold will be gracious towards the brother that's not, but the other way around is not, it's not reciprocated. And that's what God is saying here, according to every measure. To the measure of the faith that God has given every man. What you have, what God has given you. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So now he's starting to say, listen, God, not every one of you has the same office. Not everyone has the office of a bishop. Not everyone has the office of a deacon. Not everyone has that. Now, some people can accept that in the body. Some people can't, and they leave because they despise authority. And they will not have any, they will not have authority over them. They will not have someone lead them or pastor them. They will not be pastored. There are some men that believe that they don't need anybody to lead them but themselves. And those men rarely stay in a local church. Because they cannot accept any authority over them at all. They despise that. And they cannot accept it. So what's going to happen in that body? It's not going to work. If you think you have the same office as somebody else in the body, or if you don't respect the fact that some have the other office in the body, guess what's going to happen? Schism. Problems. Amen. Problems are going to rise. I've met a lot of rich people and people like that that like to do that. Boy, they want to buy their way in and push their way around and do whatever they want to do, and you just have to accept it. And, you know, they want to influence the pastor with money. They want to influence him with pressure and prestige and all that. And you know what? It doesn't work. For some men, it does work, and they take the money. Well, I'd rather be poor. You keep it. Because you ain't giving it to God anyway. So keep it. take your little pony down the road. Bye. But he says here, he explains here, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ. See, what you're going to see towards the end of this, and I don't know how far we'll get towards the end, we'll pick it up the next hour, but what you're going to see here is this. You're going to see how the body is starting, and he's speaking of it in parts, but the end goal is not for the body to be in parts, but for the body to be working as one. Not to have one part doing this and one part doing that. Yeah, all are going to have different functions, but it's working together. A body that doesn't work together doesn't work. It can't be productive. It can't work that way. And you're going to see that as we keep reading down here, we go to different scripture, that if your hand decides to take off and do something else, or one of your legs says, I'm gone. If you were walking down the road one day and your left foot said, see you later, and took off, what would you do? Fall. Right? Boom. Just like that. So we being many are one body in Christ. He's trying to teach him a principle. Yeah, you know what? There's many members, but it's one body. We're all together here. We've got to be all together here. And part of that is a maturity level of understanding that there are different offices, and to respect that order that God has placed. It's just like, again, in your home. If it doesn't operate like that, and it's not operating as the father being the leader, as the mother following the father, as the dad being the head, then guess what? You're going to have some problems. Because if somebody else is the head other than the one that God has ordained to be the head, you're going to have problems. See, I can make it work. No, you can't. It won't work. It doesn't work that way. God said it wouldn't work. Caused a lot of problems. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one member is one of another. All members one of another. Having then gifts. He speaks to these gifts. Having then gifts. Differing according to the grace that is given to us. You have a gift or gifts. Every member that has the Holy Ghost of God inside of them, that is a member of the body, has a gift or gifts. Not all are the same. I mean, isn't that how it works? We've seen it work that way. God has blessed men here with certain gifts, and they're able to do things I can't do. Everybody says, well, you ought to be able to learn how to do this, 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 and this. Maybe God didn't want me to. Why do I have to do it all? Even as help, see, we only see it as this. Oh, well, that the only gifts that we have are exercised in the assembly on Sunday. Wrong. Wrong. You lost it. You missed it. You missed it. Nope. You missed it. You're not understanding the nature of the body. You're still a body, whether you're assembled or not, as you're part of a local New Testament church. You're part of that body together. And you know what? Not all members have the same gifts. Amen. Not all have the same gifts. Some have gifts to do other things. Some have others. What gifts is he talking about here? Is everything gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Preaching. Not everybody's going to have that. Not everybody's going to be that bold preacher. Not everybody's going to have that. You know, you might be a man that comes with us on the street, but you may not preach, but you may hand out tracts. You may be the guy that talks to the guy that's sitting there with his head down. You might be that guy. Maybe you're not doing it. Maybe you're supposed to be there doing it. But you might not be the preacher, but we're still one body working together. Brother Paul is a bold preacher. He's a bold evangelist out there. Very bold. Way bolder than I am out there. But Brother Paul doesn't deal with people one-on-one like I do. It's not the same gift. I can sit there and talk to somebody and draw out of them the gift of God, not my own, but draw out of them what they need to say so I can help them. Even if they don't want to say it. It's a gift of God. Not everybody has to have the same one. I don't have to preach like Brother Paul. He doesn't have to deal with people like I do. You might not go out there to preach. You might hand out tracts. You might just hold a sign. You might just hand somebody a bottle of water. All one body, different gifts. Somebody says, oh, everybody's got to preach. I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say everybody has to preach. I would say everybody has to be involved. Amen. Some facet. Whether you're stamping tracks, whatever. See what I mean? See how it works? That's how body works. All working together. Different gifts. Don't despise the gifts of your brethren. Maybe they don't have the same gifts as you. Maybe you're like, well, I'm not that bold. That guy preaches the way he preaches. Well, you know what? You're not him. And as long as he's not doing something sinful, thank God for him, pray for him, and assist him and help him. But don't despise him. And if you may be to say, well, that guy doesn't want to preach. He doesn't have to preach. He needs to be a part of the body. He needs to exercise his gift in the body. He needs to work together with us. But he doesn't have to always be you. Okay? You're not the measuring stick. God gives that measure of faith and those gifts. But we should all be involved. There isn't a man that couldn't go out there and stand on that street and hand out tracts. There isn't one that couldn't stand there. There isn't one that couldn't sing a song if you sing. Maybe you don't preach, maybe you sing. Amen. Maybe we'll be at a family place. Maybe your husband will say, hey, family, let's go with the kids and the wife and let's hand out tracts to people. I mean, there's certain areas I wouldn't recommend that. I would strongly say don't go, you know, for ladies and children. But Jesse James says, there ain't one person in here, I'm not telling anybody what to do with their wife or their kids, but there isn't anybody in here that couldn't be in that atmosphere that couldn't hand out tracts to people. You see what I mean? See, we think, don't be selfish. Don't think that everybody has to be you. I don't think that all of you have to preach like me, have to stand like I do, have to thunder it out on Facebook or wherever else it is, have to be on a radio show, I don't think you have to be me. But don't despise what God has called me to do either. Don't look at me and say, well, you're just cocky and you're just this. You don't know my heart. You don't know that's what it is. You don't understand what God has called me to do or what gifts God has given to me. How dare you be God and look at the motive of the heart and say, well, this is why you're doing this and this is... No, you don't have any clue. You don't know that. Shame on you for even suggesting or thinking that. I don't think Brother Paul stands up there and preaches the way he does because he's putting on. Really? No, I don't think he's putting on. I think it's what God's called him to do. And that's how the body works. Not everybody's the same. And I don't despise you men that don't go. I don't think less of you because you don't go. I think eventually you'll all be involved in some way. And I think there's times in your life where things are going to come up and you're not going to be able to do the things that you would like to do. And see, I'm not one of those starchy fundies that want to bang down to your door and give you a guilt trip of why you didn't go knock 150,000 doors this week. I don't do that to people. Why? Because God does that work in a man's heart, not me. I'll lead by example. Because that's how a body works. He says here, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Okay. I want to stop you there, and I want to be talking about waiting to serve God. You understand that? There's some people that teach us what waiting, wait, you're just to sit there and be patient and wait on your ministry. No. This is talking about being a waiter, okay? Like a waiter serves, okay? It's not wait. Well, I'm waiting for my ministry. Great. Wait a long time. Just keep waiting, I guess. Brother Paul, I ain't going out today. I'm waiting on my ministry. I mean, I've heard it taught like that. I'm serious. I heard a guy that very educated with a degree and all that. I'm not picking on him. I'm not going to mention any names, but I'm just saying. And he taught that. He said, well, that's waiting. You're supposed to just wait. Wait till the pastor decides you're ready, or wait till God decides. Where do you get that from? I said, that doesn't say that. He said, look at what he's saying. What is a minister? A servant. That's right. A waiter waits. He's not standing around not doing nothing. No, he's serving. He's waiting on people. He's serving them. A minister serves. That's what they do. That's what he's saying here. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Let's serve. You serve. That's what that means. That's right. Study it. Amen. God help us. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Is the guy waiting on his ministry? He's the only guy that doesn't have to do anything and everybody else does? Everybody else gets the gift, but you're waiting. Oh, okay. That's a great gift. Your gift is to wait. All right, I'm good at that. I'll go sit in my chair and wait. That's your gift. I've given you a gift, and it's to wait. Now, that would come in handy for a husband waiting for his wife to get ready. That was a gift, but I know it's not. I don't have that gift. I'm not that patient. Patience is a gift, though. That's another thing. But anyway, we'll talk about that later. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. He's saying if God's given you the gift of teaching, listen, there are some people that, I mean, they can live it, but they can't teach it. I mean, they're not good at teaching. You know what I mean? They just don't have that gift. Now, I believe all pastors, all pastors or elders or bishop are able to preach. I don't believe that God left that. I believe those two are together, and preaching and teaching are together with that. There are two gifts that are right there with that, and they're evident to see because he needs to be able to teach others also. So if he's called to do that and he's laid hands on that, the church must recognize that he has that gift, okay, that he's able to do that. Amen. And anyway, so that's something for you to understand there. But he says here, or he that teacheth on teaching. So hey, if God's given you the gift of teaching, it'll show to your brethren. It's to be exercised in that body. That doesn't mean just on Sunday. That could be, listen, we're to go out in all the world and preach, and you teach when you go out there too. You're teaching. I sat there with a Muslim man. You can watch the video. I sat there and taught him the scriptures. I wasn't preaching to him. I was teaching him. I took a Bible. I'm not yelling at him. He's standing around. I know street preachers that'll yell at a guy. They're standing right there next to the guy. The guy's trying to have a conversation, and they'll start screaming at him. What, put your megaphone down. Don't be a moron. Put the megaphone down. Quit screaming in that guy's ear. Take a Bible and show him. But they don't want to do that. They can't show him, right, and they don't want to either. Some guys, they don't want to do that. They profess that. They don't want to do that kind of stuff. So, but you can't do that to people. You don't scream at people. There's a difference in standing on a pulpit and preaching and then on the sidelines talking. Just having a conversation. Teaching. Big difference. Big difference. Should be a big difference too in your demeanor and how you deal with them. Huge. Amen. But that gift of teaching can be exercised out there right on the street as well. Not just in here, not just in a Bible study or preaching from the pulpit, but it can be in your life, with your children, your family, with others. But it's all a gift of the body. And he brought that, by the way, and we're going to see that, for the purpose of edification, for the perfecting of the body. You didn't get your gifts, you rogue out there and run around by yourself and do whatever you want to do. That's not why God gave you gifts. There are people out there that believe that the local church means nothing and that, well, I'm part of the universal invisible church, so I can go out there and I'm not going to exercise. No, your gifts are meant to be exercised in the body, edifying one another. That's what they're for. That's why he gave them. Watch. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Look at that. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. The gift of exhortation. to exhort the brethren, to exhort one another. The Bible says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That's part of preaching, exhortation. There's some exhortation there. Those that have that gift, I believe pastors have that as well. But exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Some people are really good at giving. They're just a very giving person. Whether that be time, money, or talents, they're very giving people. I mean, it's a supernatural gift of God with them. Now, we all should be giving. We understand that, okay? And we all have that, and we all, when we love, you give, right? I mean, that's just what you do. But there are some people that they just abound in it. And you see that by how they are. They're just very, people are like, man, I could never do that. Well, you know, that's probably because that person's, the Lord's touched them with that. And that's what they do. There's people in this body like that as well. I mean, God has blessed you with many gifts, and I mean, Brother Paul. Obviously, he's got the gifts to preach here and there. But you know, with brotherly kindness, comes over and helps, and figures out my central and right on it, and works on it. Brother Roy, I can't even count how many projects that guy has put together for me over there, and Brother Andrew as well, helping me out with cars and front ends and all kinds of stuff. You know, all kinds of different things like that Brother Andrew has helped me out with, and others. Lee, I talked to him about a lot of advice and other things like that. I mean, each person that God has blessed and given that. And I know the ladies have those gifts too, and they help one another, and they're there for one another, and they're praying for each other. And hey, if it wasn't for the lady, the guy wouldn't be able to do it. If it wasn't for that wife and to be strong and encourage that. That then you're not going to be able to do that. See, you're not an island unto yourself. It matters what you do. It matters how you conduct yourself. It matters how you exercise those gifts. You're not allowed to go out and be somebody by yourself. It doesn't work that way. Yes, we're individuals. Yes, we do that. But you know what? When you're part of a body, it matters how you deal one with another. It matters how you exercise those gifts. And if you're not where you're supposed to be, then guess what? Those gifts are not being exercised to the glory of God. For he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence. The Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account. So there's those that God has called to rule. There's the pastor that God has called. People don't like that word today. Oh, I don't like that. Well, it's biblical. Every house has to have a ruler. Amen. I don't care what it is, whether it's a business, a corporation, a home, a family, whatever it is, it's got to have a ruler. Somebody's got to lead. Amen. And somebody's got to follow. Amen. Somebody's got to wear the pants of the family. That's right. Amen, Brother Paul. Amen. Yeah, you always help me out. I appreciate that. It's one of your... Oh, boy. He that showeth mercy... Brother Paul don't have that one. No, I'm just kidding. Just a joke, Brother Paul. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. You see that? There's that gift. He's talking about a gift of mercy there. That there are some people that can be... Man, I mean, they have great mercy with others. They're cheerful, but you can just see it in them. Well, you know what? When you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing in the body, guess what happens? Guess what you're doing? That body is lacking that gift because you're a part of it and you're not fulfilling it. So then it's going to cause some problems in the body. See, you don't get to... You don't get saved, baptized, and become a member of a local church that covenant together as a body and think that, well, I'm the arm or I'm the toe, so I don't need to be a part. It's no big deal. I can just be a toe unto myself. No, it doesn't work that way. Your toe has to be a part of that foot. Your foot is part of that. That foot is a part of that body. and that body doesn't function well, you know what happens when that little toe is off? You ever seen the balance of someone when they lose their little toe? Well, you might say, well, I'm nothing but a little toe. Well, better than a toe jam. I'm just kidding. Exactly. You might be a toe, okay? But take that toe off and see how well you balance. See how well the body balances. See how the gifts that that toe adds to that body, and when that's not in its place, what do you think that does? Suffers. We're going to get to that. We're just in Romans chapter 12. We haven't got to the good stuff yet. I mean, it's all good, but it gets gooder, brother. I like using that word. All the English people are going to, English majors are going to lose it right now, but that's okay. They're used to me, so. All right. He says, let love be without dissimulation. Knowing all these gifts. Having all these gifts. Let love be without dissimulation. That love is to be exercised in the body, amongst its members. I mean, I'm assuming everybody here loves their arm, right? Pretty much. I mean, you like your arm? You don't want to get rid of it anytime soon, do you? You love it, right? I'm pretty sure you all love your eyes, right? You don't want to poke them out or anything, right? You don't want to lose an eye, right? Amen. You follow me? Is this too practical? Because we're going to get into real practicality in a few minutes. Well, probably the next hour, but you like your hand, right? You love your hand? I mean, I love my hand. If you ask me, you love your hand? Oh, absolutely. Your feet? Absolutely. I don't want to lose it. I need them, right? They're important members of my body. Are they not? There's hands. There's feet. They're important. There's eyes, ears, nose. Each one important. He says, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. He's speaking of your relationship in the body, how you deal with the members, one of another. Now, obviously, if you don't treat each other good, everybody else you're going to treat horrible anyway. Right? These members that you're members of the body ought to be treated right. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. As a body, all these gifts coming together. Now abhor that which is evil, cleave that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another, with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. And then that transcends out to how you deal with everything else. Everything else. See, well, if I go get a job that's a bad job or it's a crooked job or if I do something, you know, immoral out there, or if I do a business deal that's wrong, that's shady, if I've dealt with guile, like he says here, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. If I handle myself out there like that and say, well, you know, it only really affects me. No, you're wrong. It affects the body. See, we have minimized the commitment of the local church so much today. It's been so despised today. It's been made so little today that guess what we do? We really believe that we can just go out there and do whatever we want. Oh, yeah, I mean, we're not, you know, murdering anybody or anything, but, I mean, it doesn't matter what I do. I can go, I can watch this movie, or I can get it myself into this, or I can defile myself with this, or I can go do this, or I can wear this, or I can act like this. This, after all, it has nothing to do with the body. Missed it. No, what you do does affect the body. Because what you don't understand, even if you're not acting like a body, God Almighty sees you as one. So God judges you. When you've entered into a covenant, what does the Bible say about a local church? Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound on heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. If you have bound yourself to that, if you have bound yourself to that agreement, if you have come together in that agreement, then guess what? God says, it's valid. You did it. Why do you think it takes an act of voting somebody out as a body and dealing with somebody like that? And as discipline is not done by the pastor, it's done by the body. I mean, listen, there's times when I'm going to be a witness to something and help somebody and deal with something that doesn't have to get to the body. I've dealt with everybody in this body in some way or fashion with that. And I haven't brought it out to all of you because it's not necessary. Once it's dealt with and it's being able to handle, then we drop it. It's over. Like the scriptures say, we move on. We forgive. We move on. It's done. It doesn't have to be an act of the body. No, God says it doesn't have to be. It hasn't gotten that far. We want to get it. Reconciliation, we want to get it done before it ever gets that far. Amen. That's what we want to do. That's always the goal. We don't want to go through all those steps. We want to be able to say, hey, great, amen. We got to take care of back here. Done. Case closed. Didn't even make a case to the church. Didn't have to. One brother, two brothers, a witness, they took care of it. They got it done. Then it moves on. But it matters what you do. It matters how you act. It says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing an instant in prayer, distributing the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Amen. Being hospitable one to another. Always. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. That's the body. There's going to be times of rejoicing. There's going to be times of sorrow. And by the way, too many people want to handle everything without help. You don't understand the body. You think, well, I can deal with this myself. I don't need anybody's help. I can, but God didn't put you in the body for you to deal with everything yourself. He didn't put you in the body, so you just try to figure out everything yourself. You know, when I have decisions, a lot of things I have to make, I call people and ask them their advice. Men in this room, I ask them their advice. Why? Because God gave us the body to do that. That's what it's for. And that's right, it's wisdom. That's what it's for. Amen? That's why God placed you in a body. Not so you could just be an island unto yourself and do whatever you want to do and think that you can go anywhere and be any way you want to be and it doesn't affect the body. If you're not a member, if you're not, then that's different, obviously. But when you have covenant together and you are, then there's a responsibility. But there's also the bearing one another's burdens. You don't have to go through trials of your life by yourself without your brethren to be there. And God never intended you to. But when you reject the love of the body, when you won't allow them to exercise that love one toward another because you're too proud, you don't want somebody knowing that you actually have feelings, that you actually cry, that you actually struggle. Well, guess what? You don't have to tell me that, and I already know it. Because I do too! I sit and weep over my own sin and struggles that I have in this life. I do the same thing, and if I do, how much the more will all of us do the same thing? Think about it. Say, oh, I'm strong enough, I can handle it on my own. No, you're not. And you don't have to. And why would you want to? Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I can't of brethren that are online, everything like that, and I love them dearly. Brother Ickes knows I love them dearly. They're good friends and good brothers, and next to this church, I know no other place I'd rather preach than there, and spend time with those men up there. But you know what? God gave this body. You are the people that I confide in. You are the men that I go to. You are the ones that I talk to. You are the ones that I need prayers for. And you are the ones that affect me the most. And if you betray, or you harm, or you treat poorly, or you don't stand with me, together, in one, then it weakens me. And then I weaken you. Make sense? Because that's how the body works. By the way, I do not have any notes on this. And I have to stop. So we're going to stop right here. I'm going to finish a few verses. We're going to stop. And I'll pick up in the afternoon. Notes on this whatsoever. When I was putting this together, I was like, Lord, I don't really have anything. But I just kept putting the scriptures down and the scriptures down. And every time I seen the body there, I put the scriptures down for it. I was like, I don't really have like this outline for this at all. Oh, he has one though. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we do it in ignorance. We don't even realize it. Amen. I really do. I don't believe anybody means to be really hurtful to anybody. He says here, recompense to no man evil for evil. No sense in getting back. No, let it go. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So, that's Romans chapter 12. That's talking about gifts in the body, talking about kind of the relationship in the body, how those gifts work, how you and I are supposed to act towards one another. Next, we're going to get in, after that, we're going to get into 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and see how that, and 13, by the way, of how everything just kind of, God places everybody in there and the work of the body there and how that works and operates. Father, thank you so much for your word, Lord. Thank you for the truth of it. Thank you for the power that's in it. Help us, dear God, help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.